Welcome to In the Moment State House. I'm your host, Lori Walsh, seated here in SDN Communications Studio in the State Capitol Building with Dakota Scouts, Jonathan Ellis, our Dakota Political Junkies analyst for today. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
It's a pretty exciting time. Things are kind of winding down, but yet there's a lot of work left to be done here in Pierre. What's the tone right now, would you say?
That there are some longer meetings going on, and after sometimes you're having afternoon meetings when typically after floor sessions that especially the state affairs committee is having to meet, the appropriators are meeting, they're kind of like trying to put the final pieces on the budget, things of that nature. So this is pretty typical, but there are still some big issues out there that are going to be resolved near the end.
What are you waiting for?
Well, I'm looking at there are some voting rights kind of, restrictions on voting in some senses. And when I say restrictions, like residency rules.
Sure.
There's been concern about out-of-state residents perhaps affecting balloting here in the state. So there's some talk about that. There's also going to be a push to, more ballot issues that the legislature is going to put on the ballot for 2026. So there'll be a lot to talk about. In the next week and a half.
More ballot issues to come?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, not only from the legislature, but from activists who are gonna be collecting signatures.
Yeah.
Hey, we're a direct democracy state in some sense.
So, we are looking at a budget, tough budget year as well, too. How's that sorting itself out? Does the prison, sort of the reset on the prison conversation with the summer study, does that change the state budget process measurably?
I don't think it does, okay. No. I mean, that money is going to be held in abeyance anyway. It's not like it can be used now in the regular budget. So I don't think that changes the picture. I mean, that doesn't change the picture of like ongoing revenues and things of that nature.
Yeah.
It is going to be a leaner budget year for sure. And I think they're preparing for that. And you always kind of want to wait to get the fullest picture you can before you create the budget. And so, and sometimes there have been instances where they haven't actually passed the budget until they come back on veto day to do it. That's pretty rare, but they typically wait till the end so they can get the most current forecast they can get.
Yeah.
How it's going to look in the future.
And they have to balance. They're required to balance the budget.
They are. So every time they go, I balance the budget. Well, thanks for following the Constitution. You're required to do that. So yeah.
Any thoughts on Governor Roden and how his leadership has changed or not changed this session? Because we did have a change during this session, which is again incredibly rare.
Well, he's more present. Has been more present, and maybe that's because he's. He hasn't had to go anywhere really. I think he did go to the National Governors Association. So he did one, but he's been more present. I think more of a presence in the Capitol. In my line, I'm speaking a little bit from the gut here, but it seems like he's more of a person persona here that is. He's wielding some influence, I think. Yeah.
So of course we're comparing him to our most recent governor, Kristi Noem, and you at the Dakota Scout have had quite a story these past few weeks about her credit card and the expenses on her state credit card. Tell us a little bit of that story, because it's been going on for how long for you, where you were trying to get access to those charges to look at them?
Yeah, so our reporter Austin Gosson originally put in an open records request with the state auditor's office back in May last year, and there was some back and forth on that. We kind of upgraded that in June, and then they ended up releasing what were monthly totals at the time through April of 2024. But we weren't satisfied with that. We thought the actual records themselves, they're public records, that they should be made public. And so we filed a lawsuit against the auditor's office, the state, back in September, seeking to get those records. And we litigated that. When Governor Noem left office, the state decided to settle that lawsuit with our lawyer, John Arneson, who actually deserves the credit on this, a longtime First Amendment lawyer for the media in this state, has won many victories for the First Amendment. And, so we settled that, we got the records, and then it's been there are a lot of them. And we partnered with Sioux Falls Live, Patrick Lally, there to like help get them into a searchable format, and it was a huge lift. We've been working on that for a couple weeks now.
What were some of the reasons that originally you were given to not release those records?
They said originally that it would be a security threat. So, for example, if you could, you would see maybe patterns of her travel, which is ludicrous. I mean, okay, so I will say, teaser alert, she did like to go to the Venetian in Las Vegas, but you know, you don't know if you're gonna, you know, when she's gonna be there, those kinds of things. So that was their rationale, but it was real, that was just a cover, just to hide the documents, let's be honest. I mean, in public and financial documents are explicitly public records in South Dakota's, what I would say is very weak open records law.
Yeah, all right, so let's talk about some of the things that you found. What are some of your first impressions about Governor Kristi Noem's spending over the past 5 years?
Well, and I want to compare this to Governor Dugard's because his were part of the request as well.
Okay.
And they only had 1 year left of his the retention schedule. And they're very different. They're very different. You know, there's a anecdote about Governor Dugard who he went out to lunch with one of his young staffers, I think maybe even an intern here, maybe in town at Dairy Queen or something like that. And he kind of bashfully, they ordered him kind of bashfully, oh, all I've got is the state credit card. Can you pay? And so he didn't use it. He used it very sparingly. I mean, he did, don't get me wrong, he used it. Mm-hmm. But he was pretty selective in when he used it. The Governor Noem, not so much. I mean, granted, a lot of these expenses that she liked to go to Starbucks, she liked to go to Culver's. Now, these were when she was traveling. And mm-hmm. state employees are legitimately entitled to per diems. And so, I'm not nothing against that. She was entitled to that as, you know, as part of her as a state employee. But she did travel quite a bit out of state, and that really kind of intensified, I would say, after the summer of 2020. I mean, that was, and if you obviously putting that timeline together, that's when she really kind of had some, you know, national acclaim for her handling of how she handled the COVID crisis. And she really became, I think, as we would call, much more on the speaking circuit for conservative organizations, much more sought after person, and so, I mean, she kind of was rising to stardom. You know, so I that was part, you know, we paid in some sense as taxpayers, and a lot of the totals out of this were not necessarily even her, but for security.
For security.
Yeah.
What did we learn about the security that she had to take? So that's her security detail?
A security detail that the state would apply to her trips and things like that. So,
yeah. And what are you finding patterns in there? Like, what are your intentions next? Well, you know, you've got a searchable database and for subscribers on Sioux Falls Live and Dakota Scout. What are you doing as reporters? What are you interested in? When you look at all the information, what are the places that you want to, you know, dig in and say, well, what does this mean? What's the relevance of this?
I think that it would be nice to be able to go back and say, okay, this hotel visit in Florida was related to what trip?
Sure.
Was it to meet with Donald Trump? Was it because of CPAC or something? I mean, you know, so if you could go back, and that it's a very painstaking process to go back, what group was she speaking to? And I want to be very clear, there were also very legitimate, she went to the National Governors Association, Department of Education meeting in Phoenix, she was doing rating agencies meetings in New York, which Governor Dugard did as well. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say that there were, that she did legitimate. And I would say maybe all, you could argue maybe all of it's legitimate, but certainly in her role as governor for the state of South Dakota, she was doing those trips. She was also doing trips related to the fact that she was kind of a superstar in the conservative movement.
Yeah. So who is supposed to pay for those things? When does it have to come out of her campaign budget if she's campaigning? And mm-hmm. when does it come out of, like, the governor has been called to, you know, CPAC to speak, and then we pay for that? What do we know the ground rules are here?
Well, and
are we rethinking what the ground rules are?
We don't necessarily, I don't know that there's a bright line there.
Yeah.
No. I think that those are those are judgment calls in some sense.
Yeah. So what questions do you...
I mean, she's representing, even if it is CPAC or some organization like that, she is, in a sense, representing the state, so.
So then is it no big deal? Why have them out there?
I think transparency is important. I think that taxpayers always need to be aware of, like, how their money is being spent and have those questions.
Yeah. Netflix charges.
Yep.
Why is that?
She had a Netflix account. Again, I you can argue that there's probably, you know, maybe some legitimacy out of that. She had a SiriusXM account. And, you know, I mean, and she rationalize that as needing to be stay up on current events, which, okay. Governor Dugard's office had a subscription to the Argus Leader, for example. I mean, which was even more expensive, I have sad to say, about my former employer, than the SiriusXM account. So there are those kinds of like areas. I was interested to meet that Governor Dugard had a $15 a month charge that on his card for a at-home security system for his place in Garrison, which, again, I think that's a legitimate expense. I think the taxpayers, you know, probably should pay for the governor's security system. You know, so those are just kind of the lines you have to, like, those are judgment calls. But at the end of the day, those records should just be out in the public, and then we get to make those decisions. We get to question that.
Yeah. Attorney General Marty Jackley has released his expense vouchers. Mm-hmm. Clearly a much, you know, smaller expense account. Should this be something that everyone does going forward?
I think they should be public record, period. Mm-hmm. For any employee, any government official. I mean, their credit card spending should be public record. Those are just should be routine public records, in my opinion. They should always be available.
Yeah. All right. What is the big wins of this legislative session? Do you think there's been anything that you look back and you say, I remember last year at this time, we were talking about the efficiency of focus for lawmakers last year as they handled some issues. This year, when we look back so far in the session, are there things that stand out to you that, like, this is what's going to define the work that lawmakers did this year?
Well, you saw this session so far, and there's no reason for this to end, but you've seen a lot of what I would say conservative reforms in terms, again, talking about voting registration, voting, residency stuff. I think the anti-pipeline people would say it was a victory for property rights. The ethanol people might not say that, but it depends on what camp you land in mm-hmm. in terms of what were the big victories.
Right.
The prison. I mean, the people in Lincoln County would say we got a victory, you know, at least for now, temporarily, halting this prison project.
Yeah. Things you're waiting for next. What are you following?
Well, certainly the budget is going to be. That's mm-hmm. always at the end of the day. I am going to be interested to see what ultimately the legislature decides to put on the ballot. Because that will define what are going into that 2026 election.
Yeah. What do we know so far? I don't know that I'm up to date on that.
Well, I mean, there are going to be some that have to do with the petitioning themselves. We have that 60%. Okay. Yeah. So there are going to be some, again, asking voters to go back and maybe even restrain themselves a little bit at the ballot, which has not been successful in the past.
No, that has not worked in the past. Medicaid? Is that going forward? Voters will be asked one more time to discuss Medicaid. Yeah.
And that's all related to the federal funding. So if the federal funding ever dips below what they'd promised when they expanded mm-hmm. Medicaid back in, was it 2010, 2013?
Yeah.
There was a promise to states that you expanded this population, we will always meet this minimum threshold, which I think was 90%. And so lawmakers say, hey, if you don't meet that, we want to be able to, revoke that eligibility for that population.
Yeah. Anything from the federal side that we're seeing impact on the budget yet? Federal employees, obviously, but are we seeing anything in the state house that's being impacted by the change in politics in Washington?
I have not, but it is a matter of time before that comes.
Yeah.
Especially if there are some trade policies that affect our agriculture markets, especially with regard to Canada and Mexico.
Yeah.
Those are our two biggest trading partners with regard to agriculture. And so if there's a big hit because of tariffs on agriculture, well, you'll see that'll have a lot of downstream effect on the state government.
All right. DakotaScout.com is where you can find your work. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Yep, thank you.